Welcome to Documentary Diehards, the show where three sports fans break down one 30 for 30 documentary each and every episode. Ren, Sam, Nick. Guys, how's it going? Nick, what's up?
Not too much. Just living the dream. It's March 1st. We're getting close to spring and summer, and we're almost there.
Close to summer. That's an overstatement, I would say.
Yeah.
Almost
to March Madness.
Yeah.
Rudy, what's your take on March Madness? Fill me in as someone who's so uninformed about college basketball.
There's no, in my opinion, one good team this year.
There's no good team?
Like, great team. Like, top tier. Like, maybe, like, top tier of, like, five teams. But I don't know. I think you could make a case for even 6 through 14 being good enough to beat those teams anyways. So, I feel like it's a lot of somewhat even teams, at least, just by their style of play and how they're playing. I don't know if it's like transfer portal stuff and nobody is as good as they, you know, should be with all the talent that they have, and maybe until the end of the year and then some of them are able to start turning it on, or what really the answer is. But yeah, this year just seems off.
I mean, I looked at I don't know if it was a top 20 or something, but it was crazy to see UNC, Duke, and Kentucky. None of them are on that list, like rankings wise.
Yeah.
UNC is
it's variety for sure. UNC was a preseason number one. They might be the first preseason number one to not make the tournament ever.
You don't think they're gonna make the tournament? What's happened?
They have one quad one win, which is a metric that they use for a tournament resume. Which is basically like decent teams that you play at, like really good team, like top 30 at home, top 40 if it's neutral, and top 50 if you play away. So basically like good teams that you're playing. They were 0-8, I think, until they beat Virginia last week, who is a number 6 rated team in the nation. They just have not looked good. I mean, I think they're overrated going into the year, but they have not been able to build upon last year at all, more so just regressed. Starting to look a little better now, but we'll see. Like Marquette is 6 though right now, which really? Is just like, yeah, just weird.
They're always like randomly good every like 5 to 10 years. I feel like they have a really good team.
Yeah. I mean, Shaka Smart, has got them playing well, I guess. I haven't watched much of their play.
Can we talk about how nuts top prospects are right now in NCAA football? Jalen Carter, who's like looked at as probably the top overall prospect in the entire NFL draft. He is like wanted right now by the police for that accident that killed his teammate, because apparently they were like racing. And then also the Alabama top prospect in college basketball. He's like the third highest ranked prospect for the NBA draft. He like apparently got his teammate the gun that he used to kill somebody, right?
Yeah, his teammate texted him and said, "Hey, bring the car over with the gun." And so he drove there. Guy uses the gun to shoot and kill someone. Or he shot it in a car and he killed the girl in the passenger seat. And then they drove away.
That is insane. Yeah.
And then did you see his pregame introduction?
Yeah.
They did the pat down on him.
Oh my God.
Like tone deaf to the max. And their coaches said some really stupid stuff too, like wrong place, wrong time. Is his famous quote that he said, and everyone's like, a girl died. Like, you can't say wrong place, wrong time when you willingly went into that situation. In the Georgia case, I don't know, you just wonder. I was reading an article about that today, so it sounds like, yeah, they're racing. The car that crashed tried to take a left-hand turn. They were going too fast. They were going like 106 104, 106, and she in her blood alcohol concentration was 0.197, I believe. And so then she couldn't make the left turn. She went up on the curb, like hit a pole and knocked it over, hit another pole, split it in half, hit two trees. And that's how like two people died. And then 1% had minor injuries and one was okay. And then the guy that this Jalen Carter drove away from the scene. And then he came back 2 hours later. And then he gave like three or four different stories of like what happened. And now he's wanted. And yeah, there's like maybe even another car, depending on the, I think that was based off of video footage, but there's another car that was racing as well. So crazy.
That is insane. Is anything going to happen to the Alabama guy? Like, will he get charged with something at some point?
I think it's just like waiting to see how it plays out. Like Jay Billis talked, and Jay Billis is a college basketball analyst, used to be at Duke for a coach, but he's also a lawyer. And so it's kind of interesting to get his perspective. And he's like, well, he has rights. Like, he's not guilty of anything right now, so he can keep playing. But I don't know. I think another aspect of it is that it happened in Alabama. So I think, you know, if it happened in, you know, California or somewhere with stricter gun laws, I think that would play a bigger deal in it probably. But I don't know.
That's wild.
Probably like the third pick in the draft, and arguably like second or third pick in the draft in the NFL. So
yeah, this is
how that goes, plays out for them.
Crazy. I had one little story I wanted to tell just from yesterday. It's not that groundbreaking stuff, but I thought it was just funny. So I went back to work after my back surgery for my herniated disc yesterday. Went to the Wild, who were playing the Islanders last night. And so we did locker room for the Wild, both teams. And Zach Parise plays for the Islanders, you know, longtime Wild player, left a couple of years ago. Minnesota and everything. And so my photographer, we were talking beforehand, and my photographer was talking about like my recovery, blah, blah, blah. It was my first day back from work. And he had a back surgery a while ago. And he was saying, yeah, my golf, playing golf was never the same. He's like, I played six or seven holes and it's painful and I got to take tons of Advil. And I'm like, I really don't want to hear that. All I've been like looking forward to is playing golf when I get healthy. And he's like, yeah, well, so like you're less flexible. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, crud. And so then anyway, we go into the Islanders locker room and we interview Zach Parise about being back in Minnesota, whatever. Turn the camera off and my photographer, Tom, is like, oh, by the way, Zach, I know you had the same exact surgery that Ren did a few years ago when you were at the Wild, microdiscectomy. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I know that we both knew that Zach plays golf too. And so my Tom is like, so how's your golf game? What's the recovery been? And can you still play golf? And he's like, yeah, well, and he was kind of giving me the breakdown of what it, his recovery from that. And most of the takeaway was that he was like, just kind of worried about, you know, pulling a full like driver back just cause you know, you're torquing your lower back when you swing a golf club. And so he was like, most of it was, you know, trying to get over that mental hurdle. And then, but he did say like, yeah, I was shortening my swing for a while, but he says now he's fine. So he told me I'll be all right eventually. So that was my little encouraging thing for the day where I was like worried I'm never going to play golf again or never going to play more than like seven holes again. And so I had Zach Parise, former Wild all-star, so.
That's nice. Well, it's set in stone then.
That better be.
Set the tee
but
time.
I'm also not like a professional athlete millionaire, so.
But you probably don't swing as hard.
Exactly. But anyway, let's get into our documentary for the day. We're not talking about hockey or basketball or football. We're talking about cricket, of course. The documentary we reviewed and watched is called The Little Master, directed by Gautham Chopra. It came out in 2015. And this is about an Indian cricket player, like the considered the all-time great in cricket player from India, and maybe, you know, one of the best cricket players in history across the globe, Sachin Tendulkar. And it just kind of talks about his career leading up, that kind of culminated, I guess, in India's Cricket World Cup win in 2011. So, I mean, this was came out in 2015, and I mean, that's only 4 years removed from the World Cup. And I guess, I mean, this kind of went into 2013. They covered it at the very end, like when he retired in 2013. So this was, you know, produced 2 years after he retired, which is a quick turnaround as far as the documentaries we've reviewed. The kind of format of this was, yeah, basically talking about his career and then just a commentary on India, their kind of society, and kind of giving us an introduction to the sport of cricket. I'm sure they knew that a lot of U.S. audiences wouldn't know, so they gave us a little bit of a lesson on the rules and just kind of it briefly touched on India society, cricket, and did that through the lens of this this great cricket player. Nick, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, it was definitely different. You know, I liked that they obviously had people that were very in touch with the cricket world. There was a large, obviously it was focused on the Indian cricket team, and there was a lot of Indian presence within like the commentators, or like they had a lot of the athletes that were on that team be interviewed. There was some journalists as well, just to give emphasis to the significance of you know, that team or to the player that the documentary is named after, and just all of that. Gave a good history lesson. I feel like they probably could have talked a little more about like how the game is, at least for a dummy like me. But ultimately, I mean, it was interesting to see the pride that the country took in cricket. I didn't realize all the tensions between India and Pakistan, like they had talked about too. So I thought, you know, there was a lot of elements that you could learn from it, and something I would never learn, you know, besides watching this.
I'd agree with you. it was a lot different than ones that we've watched recently, and I think a lot of the ones that we have covered in this entire podcast, it's filled with like these awesome highlights and like all this crazy stuff happening. And sure, there was like some highlights shown throughout, but it was more so like a lesson on the sport of cricket. And I found myself in the first 10 to 15 minutes, I was about to go on YouTube and be like, how is cricket played? Because I had no idea how it was played, and I was about to look it up, and then they started to be like, this is how cricket works. And so that was very needed, as you talked about, because I had no idea about it. I really enjoyed learning about, you know, the greatest player in cricket history. That was enjoyable. But yeah, it was just a lot different than what we were used to, I think, and not – like cricket's not necessarily as high flying of a sport. So it wasn't like filled with these crazy highlights or anything like that, but it was still interesting. What'd you think, Brad?
Yeah. I, if you put up against the test that we often do, which is like, you know, how much did we learn? I feel like, yeah, I did learn a lot. I wouldn't say it was like one of my favorite documentaries, but I mean, like Nick said, I learned about the, you know, the Pakistan-India wars and the rules of cricket, or some of them at least. And so a lot of, like, probably more than some documentaries that I liked more, you know, I have learned more than some other ones that I maybe were more well-rounded. But yeah, no, I liked it. It was 50 minutes, which I thought was good. It was a nice short one. It didn't really dig deep enough, I thought, into Sachin, his kind of just him. I thought maybe we spent a little too much time in the, you know, the wide view of cricket in India and not enough on him and what made him tick. Since we got an interview with him, he spoke English and they sat him down and they didn't use a lot of interviews, quotes from him. So I thought maybe we could have, you know, rooted for him more if we really knew him a little bit more. They kept building him up, you know, like they were saying all the fans like worshipped him and, you know, considered him like their, you know, like one of the greatest ever. And it, I mean, it was, they were kept giving us the 1.3 billion people, you know, the population of India, like just how, like all those people, their hopes just lied in this one guy. And so I would have loved to see like what kind of effect that had on him. I didn't really talk about it enough, I thought. So that I feel like that was a little bit of where they faltered. And I don't know. It was just a little too vague as far as that goes for me. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, I would agree. I felt like the name of the documentary is after this guy, but I feel like they didn't really talk about him too much, or they didn't, and maybe I just missed it, but like built it up to a level that it's like, oh yeah, this was like, you know, MJ, this was Wayne Gretzky. Like they yeah. compared him to Cal Ripken, but I feel like they could have gone into more detail on his stats and maybe comparing it to someone else, which I either missed or they didn't say, but just like, you know, how they talked in the Wayne Gretzky documentary, how his stats stack up against like other people and how crazy it is. It's just, it is way higher and others don't stack up against it. So give the viewer some basis to go off of, because I mean, they score so many runs that, I mean, it's just crazy. It's like, I forget how much he scored in one season or something, but it's like 20,000 or something, right? Yeah, so to that effect, I definitely agree with you.
Can we talk about the Cal Ripken comparison? What was the, was it just that he never missed games, or that like his longevity was great, or was it, because he's, Cal Ripken was obviously a great player, but not like an all-time great as far as one of the best players ever. It was more so like he just never missed, right?
Yeah, I kind of perked up when I heard that too, because yeah, it would make sense if they were talking about endurance wise, because Cal Ripken has the games played consecutively streak, whatever, that'll never be broken. But when they said it, they basically were saying like he's one of the sport's best ever, and then like Cal Ripken, I'm like, who wrote this?
Like, I know.
like you could have said any like a lot of other people before. I don't know. It was a little, yeah, like herky jerky, I guess, just overall. And that was one of the inconsistencies for me. The one big theory I do have about this is that, you know how Wright Thompson was interviewed, the guy with the Southern accent. He's a sports journalist, one of the greatest, in my opinion, active like sports writers, feature storytellers. He does a lot of, he works for ESPN. He does like a bunch of print stuff. And I think in season one of 30 for 30s, one of the documentaries was based off of an article he did. And I'm trying to remember which one. I think it was the one about Ole Miss. Maybe, yeah, I think it was that one.
Like anyway, the goats of Ole Miss or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. All the racial tensions there and stuff. But anyway, I think, and in the beginning of this documentary, The Little Master, he talked about how he wrote an article about this guy. And then he was interviewed about him. And so my thinking was, this was another one of those. You know, it's all ESPN. He works for ESPN. It's all, you know, synergy. I assumed that this was partially based off of, or at least the idea to make this documentary was based off of his big feature article he wrote. Now, I haven't looked that up, but I'm assuming that's partially the case. And then going off that even more is that my guess is they decided to make the documentary based off of this guy, based off of this article. And then all a whole bunch of different hands went in. They're like, no, well, we got to introduce the American audience to the rules of it. We got to talk about the caste system of India and all the poverty and all the social issues and all everything, blah, 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 blah. And so it was just, yeah, it's like a big, it's like a whole bunch of different ideas jumbled together. And so I think, to me, that's why this was not a super smooth, it wasn't just super cohesive, I guess.
And they're trying to throw all of these things into a 50-minute documentary because they're probably like, cricket isn't super well known. Are people going to watch an hour and 20-minute documentary about cricket? No, probably not. So let's try to make it condense it down. And then, yeah, it was a little choppy because of that.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. How you explain it like that, I can totally see how that would be the case after just watching this.
I mean, I did like learning more about India and stuff, but it kind of made me want to, you know, just watch a documentary about India, not about sports, just to like learn about it. Because, I mean, you can't really touch on it completely or even close in this little bit they did.
And Ren, I know that you talked earlier and you said one of the big questions that we always ask ourselves when we watch these documentaries is, did we learn something or did we learn a lot? And the answer to this one is yes, obviously. And then the other question I think we ask ourselves a lot is this a topic worth making a documentary over? And I definitely think it is. I'm interested to see what you guys think of it, but I'm glad ESPN like went out on a limb and chose to do something that might not have been as popular to like American viewers, but is still important to like the history of sports. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Compared to last week, right, when I Hate Christian Laettner probably did big numbers, this one probably didn't. And they probably knew it wouldn't do a good rating, you know, a big viewership. But yeah, definitely thankful that, I mean, I like watching it. I think it was amazing, but I'm glad I watched it. And yeah, I always like the niche sports too. What do you think, Rudy?
Yeah, I would agree too. I think it's important not just to funnel all the money to basketball, football, like maybe baseball. You know, those type of documentaries are that, you know, when you have the resources like ESPN does and can, you know, get something out there. I think it's, you know, very educational for like a average sports fan or maybe above average sports fan where they're just trying to learn more about things. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I feel like you hear about cricket, you know, once in a while. I think just seeing something like this, it just increases your awareness of like sports and how popular they can be outside of just what we know in America or in Minnesota. And so just gives you a different taste.
Yeah, for sure. I did have one other criticism where I feel like if I did know about cricket, if I watched cricket, you know, as much as I watched baseball, I would have been frustrated watching this because of the explanation of the rules and stuff. I mainly thought of this because, you know, like there's that new Netflix PGA Tour golf documentary series that came out, Full Swing. It came out like a month ago or less, and you know, there's a lot of popularity about it. It's by the Drive to Survive producers, and so there's a whole bunch of hype. And I watched it, and I found myself being kind of frustrated at times how they explain like the rules of golf and like what the cut is and things like that. And so that just made me realize that, yeah, if I knew cricket really well, like I was a big cricket fan, I would have been like, okay, I get it. You know, like you hit it out, it's 6 runs, cool. Like that's, we know. But obviously this wasn't directed toward them. So, but you know, like you can't please everybody. Did we have any other thing comments before we get to a rating?
Lead us off, Ren.
Okay. Like I said, I alluded to, you know, it wasn't necessarily my favorite one. I did learn a whole bunch and I do want to kind of look up the basic rules, the list, you know, just a document with the basic rules of cricket. Because I would be intrigued to, I would love to play it one time to see how it works. There was one other criticism I had, I guess, that I just remembered that the last kind of scene where they're winning the World Cup, I felt like that was a little false. The suspense they were trying to build up, it was some false suspense where it sounded like from the little, the announcer, the little sound by the announcer when they hit that final, whatever, to score the final hit. He was like, and you know, they that does it or something. And it was just like, it seemed like a foregone conclusion just based off of the broadcast clip that we saw. And they were trying to build it up a lot. And obviously you're trying to build the drama, it's a documentary, but I hate it when I notice when my radar goes off for something like that, when they're trying to, you know, make it seem more than it is. Overall, I did like it, but I'm going to give it a 5.75. Linen outfits, because a lot of times in these videos, these guys are wearing some really great fits with these like all linen, look like really like comfortable to wear uniforms or whatever you want to call it when they're playing cricket. And so I think I would have liked to wear that more than the polyester you had to wear in Little League.
I'm with you there. That's awesome. I'll go next. I'm right in line with you, Ren. You know, I'm happy they made this documentary, but I don't think it was like the highest quality documentary that we've seen. It's not one that I would recommend to a friend who is looking to watch one. And, you know, I wasn't like entertained like crazy the whole time, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't have been made. So I think they could have improved upon it. Talked a little bit more about, was it Sachin? Is that how you say it?
Sachin, I think.
Sachin. Talked a little bit more about Sachin and his career and his life. But I'm going to go with 5.55 Ferraris, because at one point they talked about how Sachin, he is so humble that he bought a Ferrari because he could, but he would only drive it at 3 a.m. so that people wouldn't see that he had a Ferrari. I thought that was a cool little story.
Yeah, I'm a similar line with you guys. You know, there's nothing in this documentary that I was like, oh, that's terrible. It really, you know, irked me or pissed me off that they did this or that, at least to the degree that some other ones, but yeah, it just didn't have a lot going for it either. Again, I think it was a good one. Like we've said, you know, informative, something different. But just not a high budget one and not one that's going to catch my attention for a really high rating. So, 5.05. And I've forgotten my qualify. sports wars. And as they were talking, how, India versus Pakistan is like literally a war out there, and just all the security presence that they needed, when they played, because these two countries had been in four wars over 50 years in the last 50 years or something like that, they were saying, and just the significance of that. And, you know, it just reminds you of like soccer, where like the whole nation buys into this game, into the sport, just for their own national pride.
All in the fives. Rare one where I'm the highest too.
Yeah. We 5.45 rating, which puts it 55th on our list out of 66 we reviewed.
All right. I was just thinking, do you think it's the biggest sport, or is soccer in India? I always wonder like what the biggest sport is in each country. It's got to be between those two, though. I'm not really sure.
Good question.
I mean, the reason it makes me think it's cricket is because I've never heard of India making it super far in the soccer World Cup, you know? I know it's obviously massive there, because soccer is basically massive in every country besides here, but...
Google says cricket.
Cricket? Okay, cool. I like that. All right, well, going off this theme, we're going to do it...
Badminton is the second most played sport in India.
No way. Is soccer third? That's surprising. But anyway, we're going to do a Mount Rushmore based off of like sports that we wish were more popular here. So that can be really whatever, based on whatever information or opinion that you want, just sports that aren't, you know, the Big Four or, you know, something massive that's mainstream in the United States that you like, that you want to be more popular and you think maybe just should be watched more and appreciated more. Do we have an order? I think is it Nick, Ren, Sam? Is that right?
You are correct, sir.
All right, Nick, lead us off.
Well, for the first pick, it's really just a choice of whose options do I want to steal, Ren's or Sam's?
Debating between surfing and running.
That's exactly what I've been.
You know us both too well, it sounds like.
Well, I'm gonna go with track, just as a general track, and you know, we see it every, you know, 4 years, or if you pay attention to track, then it's, you know, on once in a while more. But it's interesting. Two weeks ago, I saw a picture from when Prefontaine was running, I think it was, and the stadium is just like packed full of people, and it's just crazy to think that that used to be how it was, and that was like the national I kind of watch, and how popular track was. And I just don't know. I mean, they have big stadiums now and a lot of people go, and I know recently it's been biased with COVID, but anyways, what I'm trying to say is like, it would be really cool if it was like a ton of fans around and we had multiple track meets, not just like the Olympics and the Olympic trials that gained all the steam.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the Prefontaine movie? I just heard about it on some other podcast, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, there's like a couple of them, right, Sam?
Yeah, there's Without Limits and then there's Prefontaine. Both are good. I prefer Prefontaine probably, but
yeah, I can't remember that. I haven't seen them in a long time, so I can't remember which one is which or which one I liked, but
we'll have to watch that one. Okay, well, you kind of spoiled it. Surfing's at the top of my list. When I was out for 4 weeks, like a whole week of it was pretty much spent watching two surfing World Surf League events. Yeah, it's super. I think it's there has everything going for it. And it obviously has a couple of things that don't go for it. The couple drawbacks are, it's one of those sports that's judged by judges, right? So you get a score of 10 for each wave, and that's kind of maybe hard for some people to catch on with. The other thing going, hard to watch, maybe two other things. One is it's super long, like, heats, it's a tournament bracket, right? So the early round like goes all day and blah, 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 it takes a while. And then the third thing is, the event times is fluid. It's based on the weather. They have like a 2 week period and then they go and the waves are good and it's off. So you never really know if it's going to be on that day. But the things going for it is it's absolutely like a beautiful, first of all, it's super beautiful to watch. You just leave it on your TV. It's like the best screensaver ever if you want to just leave it there. But it's, I mean, if once you just learn a little bit about it, then it's super fun to watch. And it's super fun to do. And it's gotten a little more popular with like being in the Olympics now. Yeah, it's also one of like the coolest stories of like how a sport was invented in Hawaii. Yeah, it's super fun. It's kind of a niche. Like people think like it's just California, surfer dudes that are, this caricature, but there's people from all over the world doing it. So I think it's, one of my favorite things to watch.
It is super fun to watch. It also has some of the most like breathtaking pictures. So yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to go badminton as my first pick. Who doesn't love a good game of badminton? And I don't know. I taught high school PE last spring, and I really enjoyed playing it, and a lot of my students did too. And I just think that it's a sport that a lot of people could pick up, and that you could do like an outdoor league, an indoor league. There's a lot of different versions of it. So I know pickleball is picking up steam, and it is definitely like passing badminton as in popularity. I'm sure it probably already has, but badminton would be a cool one to have be popular. And then I'm going to go with bowling as my second pick. I really like bowling.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah, he should be like LeBron James at this point. But
Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken of bowling. I think it's one of those sports that's been around for so long and might have like a bad reputation as just like bowling alleys aren't necessarily the cleanest places, especially after COVID. Like Hannah's, I'm always like, well, we should go bowling if we have nothing to do. And Hannah's always like, nah, I'm good. But I really enjoy it. And I'm always just amazed at people who are really good at it and can just consistently bowl like 250 plus. It's insane. Whenever I'm at a bowling alley, I always have to look at the high score, the high games and the high series and just be like, whoa, a guy had like an 800 series. That's so crazy. And I don't know. So,
that's the one, the sport where I'm always like, no, I don't really want to do it. And then I go there and I'm like, I'm going to get so good at this. And I'm like, why don't I go more often? Because if I went like once a month, I would probably be so good. At least that's what I tell myself.
Totally.
And then literally I had that thought like
a month ago and I went bowling, Ren.
Yeah, right? Because it's like satisfying. It's, when you bowl a good, when you bowl a strike, it's like so satisfying.
You're like, if I just do a league for 1 year and I just play once a week, I'll be amazing. And then, yeah. like, every time I go bowling with all my friends, I'll just light them up and everyone be like, whoa. And then a year later, you go bowling for the first time since you had that thought and you have the same thought again.
It also falls in the category of, like, fun to play but boring to watch. Except unless it's the who do you think you are, Ryan guy. Okay, my turn. I'm gonna go with volleyball. To me, volleyball, I love to play volleyball. I haven't played in a couple of years, but when I was in Rapid City for 2 years, I played like twice a week in rec leagues, and it was like I got super into it. I had a buddy that is super into it, and it's also super fun to watch. And this one, I think, actually is growing pretty quickly right now, especially NCAA volleyball. Because it is pretty fun to watch on TV. It's fast paced, you know, fun plays, fun highlights. And it's, yeah, to me, it's just like a pure, you know, over the net type sport where, you know, you go all out. There's great highlights when you go dive for something, or amazing long rallies like you have in tennis. And yeah, I think the men's game is much smaller, especially in NCAA. I covered one of those final fours. And they only have like a few teams in the tournament. Like I think like 8 teams make it. And then in women's NCAA tournament is like, it's big. It's like 64 teams, whatever. But I think both are growing right now. And across the world, it's also a very big sport. And it's super fun to watch.
Do you like the sand volleyball as well? Did you mention that?
Sand I like as well. Yes. That has like its own tour. In the U.S. as well. Well, I guess it's a worldwide tour. It stops in the U.S. So, and then indoor, there's a whole bunch of leagues in Europe that people play professionally. But yeah, sand volleyball, like in the Olympics, is super fun. And I think that's one of like the popular summer Olympic sports that's on like NBC primetime. And so I think that's when that gets the most viewing. Though they do have indoor volleyball as well in the summer Olympics.
Was sand volleyball a big thing in Hawaii?
Yeah, massive. Yeah, volleyball overall is big there. Like I went to an open gym once when I first got there, and it was like 3 courts in a high school gym, and it's like packed with kids, and like they're all like super good, and just because they grew up playing it, like it's like popularity wise, it's comparable to like a basketball almost. I would say, well, maybe some even better. Like as far as the talent coming out of there, there's way more volleyball talent than basketball. Because like the top athletes, they're playing football, and baseball, and then sometimes volleyball, at least for guys.
Gotcha.
All right, me.
Yep.
I am gonna go with frisbee golf.
Rolf.
Seen that on TV.
No.
It's like I don't know where I was seeing it, but anyways, I was very entertained like watching it, but I think it would be like really. Because I would never be able to believe anything that they do, but then just to see like, you know, dueling, match play or stroke play, and just with frisbees, I think would be interesting. And then what
have you played?
I have, but nothing like, you know, serious or anything. Like I've never gone to a specific Frolf course or anything like that. But
funny thing about it is I don't know what you call it, like goals. Or whatever, the holes. Yeah. I don't like the stands with the chains, you know, coming down. Yeah. I just think that's such a weird, like, piece of sporting equipment that you can't imagine.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you randomly see them in parks, you know.
Oh, it just looks like a janky thing with a bunch of chains and like, you know, metal. But
yeah.
I will say every once in a while, like a highlight will pop up on like an Instagram reel or something of someone getting a hole in one, and it is so electric as you watch the frisbee fly through the air and go towards the hole or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that, I guess.
All right, next one. I'm going to go with the biathlon. So I know just another Olympic sport, but I think it's amazingly intriguing what the biathlon is like with the cross-country skiing, and then you have to like settle down and then do like the rifle element. I just think that there should be more publicity behind that because it's like two very different like skills, and then you have to be able to control your heart rate so well. I just feel like there's like a lot of tactical nature to that. That's really interesting.
It is during the Olympics. Yeah, they go down, they ski, and then they drop down, and Yeah, it's like it's the most high pressure seeming thing.
And then you have the penalty laps too, which is just kind of a funny concept.
Yeah.
It's like running a set of lines after missing a free throw or something.
The ability to control your body that well is insane. To just slow your heart rate and stuff.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to go with another winter Olympic sport. I'm going with snowboard cross, formerly known as border cross. It's like the most satisfying thing to watch to me. Like, I don't know why, but it's just, if you don't know, it's just they're basically racing their snowboards down the hill, but they have, it's a heat of four people. And it's kind of physical. There's pushing and shoving. So it's a combination of, you know, downhill skiing with like some sort of track event with like NASCAR where they can bump each other and stuff like that. Anyway, it's just super fun. There's like big jumps and there's a lot of wipeouts. And it's just such a fun thing to watch because there's not really a ton to it besides them just maximizing their speed and then doing all the little things right, obviously. I've watched that since I was little in the Olympics, and it's just really satisfying. A couple like months after this last Winter Olympics, I went through a period where like every night I would just watch old snowboard cross races on YouTube, and it would just be like the most relaxing thing. So fun to watch. I love it.
I don't think I've ever watched one, but that sounds awesome.
Just look up like a race on YouTube. You know, they're like 90 seconds or whatever, and it's just so fun.
Okay, I will after this. All right. I'm going to go with rugby as my next pick. I know it's more popular in other countries, but in the US, it's definitely not one of the top sports. And this summer, Hannah and I were in Sweden, and I think it was like the Rugby World Cup was going on.
Oh, wow. I don't know.
It wasn't in Sweden, but it was something crazy was happening in rugby. This makes me sound like not a great sports fan.
Oh,
but
yeah, I guess I vaguely remember seeing something about that happening. I don't know where it was, but
yeah, it wasn't in Sweden, but it was on while we were in Sweden, and so we were watching it. We went to like a pub and we're watching it, and we ended up sitting by the TV with a father and son who are from South Africa, and we watched South Africa play in a rugby game. And it was
no way.
It was super cool to listen to them talk about it, and they were like really big fans and really into it, and I was just kind of like the sports nerd in me was kind of asking them questions and like, oh, how does this work, or you know, because I had never truly like sat down and actually watched a full rugby game. And so we sat there the whole time with them, and it was a really fun experience, and it like made me really respect rugby players because it's such like an intense sport and they're so strong and skilled and tough. But it also just made me be like, oh, this is, it's like a really fun sport to watch, and I wish that I had been more into it growing up, I guess.
Did you tell them one of your favorite 30 for 30s is South Africa rugby team?
I think I might have mentioned it, yeah. It was a cool thing. It was just very, very random. But and then my last pick, I'm going to go with marathoning, which is different than Rudy's track and field. I love like watching the major marathons on TV when they're on. And my goal is to eventually run all six of the majors. That'd be super cool. But there's something, I think it's like the runners in me and Rudy that like love to watch elite runners do their thing, because it's so impressive to watch how effortless a lot of them make it. And as people who do it frequently, like we know how much hard work and like dedication goes into getting your body to that level. And so I'm just fascinated by it, and I wish it was like a bigger deal than it is.
Yeah, it's always amazing to me, because like, you know, this Sam, and not to make us seem like, you know, hot shots or anything, but like, you know, we'll go for a run, and then, you know, people like Ren will be like, wow, you went for like, you know, that many miles or something. But there's just like such, not to call you out, Ren, either. We've just had those conversations.
We'll talk about it offline.
I'm really going to get kicked out after tonight. But there's such a different, you know, an upper echelon. Like, there's, you know, we're so bad compared to those like elite people. And, and I remember when the world record was broken, like there was a stat, and I forget the specifics of it, but it was talking about like, if you took all high school cross country runners, there was only like like 100 that could stay at that pace for a mile. And then if you took all the, or maybe it was like 5K. And then if you took all the college people, there was only like 50 that could stay at it for like 10K. And just like how crazy that is. And then, you know, he ran 26.2 miles at that pace. Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
It really is.
What are the six majors?
So there's three in the U.S. It's Chicago, Boston, and New York. And I've done Boston and Chicago. I just got into New York next November, which is
awesome. Nice.
And then there's Berlin, Tokyo, and London are the others.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to get the internationals eventually, but it probably won't be for a while.
That'll be sweet. I'll go with you when you go to those because I want to hit those spots too. Not to run, but...
Me too. <That's>
awesome. Just to walk around.
That'll be our next business meeting.
There you go. Our
business meeting.
Maybe at that meeting we can figure out what's wrong with my Zoom.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Okay, my turn. I'm going to go with the obvious one. Cricket. I when I was little, I always wanted to like watch it and see because I was super into baseball. So I figured, well, this is like the, you know, some other part of the world's version of baseball. And I never really watched it. I've never like watched a full match. But it obviously has a whole bunch of the same elements of baseball. And I just kind of wish it was a little bit easier to watch here. Not that it needs to replace baseball or anything, but yeah, I think it would be fun to have more access to it.
I agree. In St. Louis, we lived downtown, but as we were driving out of downtown, there's like a park, and every once in a while I would see like a group of kids playing it, and I always was like, oh, it'd be super cool just to sit and watch them for a little bit and see how it works, but I never took the time to, and I regret that. But yeah, it seems like a really interesting sport to get behind.
Yeah. All right, Nick, round us out.
Last one. We go with the Iditarod. I think that should be televised. I think that should be commentated on. I think there should be like, you know, mass publications about it and analysis. You could do sports gambling. I just think it would be really interesting. And I don't know much about it other than I know it spans like days and harsh conditions and whatever. But if you just sent like a camera in with each team or something like that, I think it would be really like interesting.
Oh, that's a great idea. Like a live broadcast of that would probably be a cult following, and especially it wouldn't be that hard anymore. You could do it with the drones and
good point about the drones,
and it's so like badass, you know, like it's just right. Like the most hardcore, like, and the dogs, and it seems so cool.
Have microphones, are they called mushers, is that what they're called?
Yeah,
have microphones on the mushers like you said, and just that'd be so cool, behind the scenes action.
That'd be fun. I did a story on one team, not a bad dinner out, but like it was some last winter, some race on Lake Minnetonka, and they had a bunch of dogs out there, and I just talked to them about it, and all these people like traveled around the circuit of dog races, you know, in the span of like 2-3 months in the winter, and like they were from near like Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and they just like go around, and that's their life for a couple months. That's super cool.
You guys will get a kick out of this. In the elementary PE world, there's like a thing going around called the Iditarod now, where like you have a little unit where there's like a kid getting pulled on the sled by a bunch of his like group mates in class or her mates in class.
That's funny. So what, you like take a video of them going around recess or like around the yard or what?
Yeah, probably like the field behind most elementary schools. Pretty cool.
That's funny.
All right, so we did the Mount Rushmore of sports. We wish we're a bigger deal or more popular. Nick went with track and field, frisbee golf, the biathlon, and the Iditarod. Ren went with surfing, volleyball, snowboard, cross, and cricket. And I went with badminton, bowling, rugby, and marathoning.
Love it. All right. Nick, do you have a documentary wish list, a documentary that you'd like to get in the future?
I do. I don't think I have used this already. So if I have, just yell at me. But I was obviously right now is college basketball time, watching a lot of college basketball. And I saw this promotion the other night that you can, it's like a raffle for charity, that you can pay $100. And if you win the raffle, then you can watch college basketball March Madness with Dickie V in his house with his wife. And I think that would just be the coolest thing ever. And I think there should be a documentary with Dickie V in it, just because of all the philanthropy that he's done for the Jimmy V Foundation, cancer research. I mean, he was the broadcaster growing up when I always watched college basketball. Like, it was a big game if he was on it. You know, he brought so much enthusiasm to the call. You know, I think that he's just a, you can start with like his coaching, which, you know, we've kind of seen a little bit in one or two of the documentaries that we've done, but just like him as a personality, as a TV personality, and just, I don't know. I think he's like a really likable guy, and I think it would be interesting.
That's a good idea. I like it.
I'm totally in on that. He's quite the personality.
Let's make it happen. I also do think, I've been thinking about this like in the past couple of weeks, like I actually do want to like produce a documentary someday. Like I think I could do it, and I just like feel like I need to find like a really good idea and have it like, come together. You're
giving you like how many, 72?
I know, but it has to, you know, like something something that's doable, that like all lines up, that I have access to, that I know people in, and then the,
I can't wait to review it and just pull it apart.
I was thinking about that, and I was like, well, I know like the things that I don't like, but I my whole production of it would just be trying to avoid those things that I criticize.
And then we'll make a mockumentary where we do all the things.
That wouldn't be too hard. There's a lot.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'll be the only Doc Diehards that Ren will sit out of. We'll have to break it down and then
tell him. But he'll still be on the Zoom call, and hopefully his camera's working by then.
I'll just be scowling at you.
We give it a 4.2 rating. Ranks it 902 out of 908.
Oh, my God. I'm already scared for that.
Just kidding. All right, so the next episode, we are nearing the end of Volume 2. We have two episodes left only, and then we're on to Volume 3, which is pretty nuts because that's, like, started in 2015, so we're really moving up here.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 73 is called Soul Man. It's a profile of Sonny Vaccaro, who rose from Steel Town roots in Pennsylvania to become an influential force in both basketball and the athletic shoe industry.
Shoe industry.
Have to watch the movie too, right? What's the new movie coming on about MJ? And
oh yeah, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's who that is. Yeah, the new Matt Damon movie about Nike.
Yeah, he was like the big guy at Nike, I think. And I'm just speaking from, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think he was the big guy at Nike who would like go to high school games and stuff and try to get like the next LeBron James to sign with Nike, kind of a thing. Or like go to camps and like try to scout for Nike, like the next big star.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. Sweet.
That's another timely one, because that movie has been promoted all over. That you see those trailers all the time. Yeah. Coincidence.
Yeah. And we'll be in a basketball mood in the next few weeks anyway. So
yes,
we madness. Will. All right, that was fun. Yeah. I think we all learned a little bit about cricket. Now we gotta go play. We gotta find a cricket field in Minnesota this summer.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks for listening. See ya.